It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Hey, greetings and salutations, everybody. There they are. There's the people I love. That's right. You have joined us for this fantastical, wonderful journey known as Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen. She's sitting across the table from me. Greetings, Tiffany.
Hey.
I've decided I want to get away from how you doing, yeah. And then you go, hey. Oh, great, how are you? And then we get into the show.
I like Noah's face when he heard our new crowd.
That's right. He was excited. Yeah. Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start is here with us, and we are going to talk about the most fantastic, amazing topic you could think about, screws. And since Tiffany's binge watching The Office with her family, everybody said,
that's what she said.
All right. Last month we did a fantastic topic on China and Asia and manufacturing and the good, the bad, and the ugly with that. Noah had a lot of great tips and ideas to make that effective and avoid some of the traps and pitfalls. And it is a topic we will come back to. Correct, Noah?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
When we've had time to review what we did and then figure out where we need to go next. Because it's a huge topic, right?
It is. And I think we just need to take a step back, wait for geopolitical events to unfold, and then we'll revisit this with the hindsight of 2020
and the forethought of second half of 2021.
Totally made all that up.
Forethought a word?
Well, yes, it is.
Is it? Huh, never heard that used.
It's when you think of something four times.
Yeah. No, F-O-R-E thought. Yeah. All right, we're losing audience members by the dozens as we discuss things. So in order to keep them, Tiffany, you ask Noah a question in the now infamous, mythical, reaching new levels of height and popularity of the email chain that is the Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen's Noah McNeely Product Quick Start pre-show emails.
Oh my God.
So you asked a great question.
Yes. I asked if he would be willing to discuss MVPs, and you probably got excited and thought baseball.
Most valuable players the wrestler known as Montel Vontavious Porter, who's come back to lead the Hurt Business faction. Shout out to Bobby Lashley, new WWE champion. But that's not what we're talking about.
My topic, right. And so Noah, of course, said yes, because this is something he deals a lot with. I'm going to let him tell you guys what MVP stands for in the product development space. But we have discussed it before. And the reason I'd like to discuss this is because when I appeared on Shark Tank, I was in a rush to get my product developed. I had to cut a process that probably would have taken a year and a half and do it in, 8 months time, of a medical device, medicine dropper, you name it. And so when people are in that scenario and they're in a hurry, which most people are in a hurry to get to market, we want to be able to teach them the best way to do that and get the best product, but not drive their engineer, which is hopefully Noah, insane.
Right, so Noah, how do we keep you from being insane?
Well, let's clarify that to be further insane.
Yeah.
Avoid making me further insane. Well, you said a lot there.
I wasn't quite sure where the question was.
Right.
Didn't tell what MVP was.
Let's start with MVP.
It sounded like the White House press corps.
I never end in a question, do I, Steve?
No, you don't. But that's okay. We love you.
So MVP stands for minimum viable product. And I usually say early viable product because there's usually something we can do a bit beyond the minimum. Mm-hmm. But the idea, the principle behind it is, what can we launch and still make a good business out of without putting every single bell and whistle we want in there? Stuff that would be like, I'm assuming you're talking about FDA regulation stuff mm-hmm. that you skipped with
right.
Ava. So you didn't have to make any actual medical claims because that's an 18-month process.
So one way around that for me was using a pre-existing dropper. I wanted a custom syringe. Droppers already existed. They were already approved with the FDA, so I basically designed my product around one of those.
Right. So
something you would advise.
So the earlier minimum, probably the most important thing our listeners need to take out of that is it is on the market. By earlier minimum, are we talking about it can be sold on market, or are we, because I'm wondering what's the difference between that and a prototype?
I think so, we've confused you entirely.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. Hence the need for this show.
Yeah, exactly. Which is most people haven't done this.
So early viable product means a product we can launch. It's not a prototype. It's a product that can be tooled up or fabricated, whatever it is, and sold in mass quantities. Now, mass quantities for your business, that might mean 1,000. It might mean 1,000,000, whatever it is, but sold not as a prototype, but as a real product on the market.
Okay.
And the
but it's an
it's
early one you can launch. It's not one that's going to take you
I think that's what I said. It's something that can be taken to market.
Can be, yes.
Yeah.
Might not need to be.
The goal with this is to get to the product as quickly and efficiently as possible. And like he said, it won't have all of the bells and whistles. But entrepreneurs and inventors do not come to engineers like Noah and say, give me the simplest version of this.
Right.
You know, cut all those three things off that I wanted. They want everything.
They want all the bells and whistles.
Product. Right. Yeah.
And they want it done last week.
Right. His job is to get them to trim that down and actually make it at the cost it needs to be and quickly.
So what are the most important parts about getting an early viable product done?
Well, I thought about this on the way here today. And, you know, I've been preparing for weeks for this particular conversation.
Why are you laughing, Tiffany? You're letting the people in on the joke.
No, this is a topic that does come up a lot. And what I like to think of it is more like the analogy of building a strategy around winning a war, not winning every single battle. So, you know, anyone that's out there that's a military buff, you know that some of the best victories in history happen when generals give up some ground. You know, they don't have to put their soldiers in harm's way every single place they can touch the enemy. Mm-hmm. So it's really more about winning the war. And by war here, I'm talking about getting your product launched, making your product into a business. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have everything absolutely perfect to do that. And if we get people to thinking about not the question, is this product perfect? Does this product perfectly capture everything in my head or in my patent or et cetera? That's the wrong question to ask. The real question is this product a viable business that will be sustainable from a business standpoint? I'm not talking about environmentalism. There's nothing wrong with that. But sustainable from a business standpoint, and it can then fund Gen 2 and Gen 3, and I can keep adding bells and whistles.
And you can't get to that. What Noah's trying to share is that you cannot get to proving your product or your concept until you have that product in hand, right? So your goal with them is to get the finished product that a consumer can use, and then they could always tweak things down the road.
Right.
Yep, get it out.
And I encourage people to look at the what's the core function of your product? What is the reason to buy people are going to have more than anything else? So like, you know, let's say you've got let's say that this didn't exist and you had a wall plate that turns on a light when you walk in a room. That's your idea. And you come to me and you say, well, I want it to have this, you know, I want it to turn the light on when you come in the room, and I want it to have an LCD screen. I want it to have a face on it that follows me around and smiles at me and knows it's me. That's all great. But if
you start with
the sensor that gets the light turned on, because all that other stuff can be done probably, but that might be 2 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of development when we can take an off-the-shelf motion sensor, build your wall plate, wire it up, whatever we need to do, and get you to the market faster. And you can get out there, you can get that on the market. That can be a successful business. And then you can work on Gen 2.
What stood out to me is the hundreds of thousands of dollars that, you know, most of these entrepreneurs are not independently wealthy. They're not coming to you with hundreds of thousands of dollars, which it does take. And so you're trying to get them there on the budget they can probably afford, right? Which may be an already marketed part that they just insert into their design.
Yes.
Great question, yes. Tiffany. Well,
there were two sighs there, and I'm not sure who's going to ask a question next.
That's fine. So, Tiffany, I want to ask you this idea of this show and focusing on MVP, EVP, came out of your story with Ava being on a pilot episode and having 8 months to get something ready. Apart from that eyedropper, which was already FDA approved, and that's a very obvious example of, oh, you were willing to make that adjustment in mm-hmm. order to get the product to market. Any other adjustments you guys noticed?
Just the design of Ava, the way she looked. I didn't really care for the way it was designed those first 7 years, which was a long time to keep manufacturing. Kids still loved it. It still did the job, but I wanted it to have a different appearance, and I never quite got there because I was in such a hurry.
Why did it take you so long to change that?
That was the thing that I've talked about before on the show, where Barbara and I just pretty much rode the wave of Shark Tank. And so we weren't going to retool for $5,000 to $10,000 this product that was working, was selling, was loved, you know, functioned fine, even though I wanted it to have a syringe and do all these things. So it's the perfect example of minimum viable product. It was my minimal viable product. And then now I have a design that is everything I dreamt it could be.
So no,
and let me point out something important that you said there is that kids still loved it.
Right.
So let me point out that your product had achieved what you set out to do, even though it didn't have all the check marks, all the check boxes checked that you originally had. The people buying and using your product, they didn't know about all those boxes that weren't checked.
They're all in your head, right?
All they knew, hey, this is a great way to give medicine to my kid. They didn't know that, oh, well, Tiffany wanted the elephant to have a crown, and Tiffany wanted to be pink, and Tiffany wanted this, that, and the other. That's all wonderful stuff, but not so important to the success of that business.
Well, and it was great because it let me get it out there, and then they gave feedback. So some of the stuff that the changes that came later just came through customers saying,
so listen to your customers.
I wanted to hold 10 instead of 5 milliliters. I didn't think about that. They did.
Yep. That's an excellent point. And that's also why it doesn't make so much sense to spend a whole lot of extra time, a whole lot of extra money to get every little bell and whistle in your first product. Now, some of that we can get in there without adding cost, without adding time. We need to talk about it, but some of it, you know, is cost and time because it doesn't matter as much if you like the product. It matters if your customer base likes the product. And they, like you experienced, they're going to give you feedback, and that's going to roll into Gen 2 with all the other stuff you wanted to improve about it.
And there's definitely non-negotiables. When you're doing that design, like one non-negotiable for me was the sound box. It was challenging to do that, but it was something that I saw as a non-negotiable. It had to have sound. And I've had so many people over the years go, just do a cheaper version where it doesn't have the sound. I'm like, well, then it doesn't talk to the kid and it doesn't interact. And that was the whole point of it. So I think you probably have a lot of entrepreneurs that have too many non-negotiables, right?
Yeah. And we have to negotiate those non-negotiables sometimes and really understand what's driving them as being those lines in the sand that entrepreneurs have. Sometimes they're not as critical as the entrepreneur thinks when they first walk in the door because they haven't thought about the whole business. They've thought about the product. They've thought about this wonderful thing they've dreamed up and the way it looks in their head and the way everything works in their head. But when I start pushing them on what's the business really call for, things start to evolve and change. Like in your case, you might do a business analysis at some point and say, does it make sense to do a cheaper version that doesn't have a sound box? Is there a market for that? Not to detract from the first generation, but you might do a Gen 2 that's the dollar store version. And that could be a very successful business too. But you've got to do that business analysis. You can't simply do the product analysis of, hey, wouldn't it be cool? It's got to be, hey, won't this be profitable?
Mm-hmm. And that's like you said, a version 2 anyway, because it's something that I've proven the concept, the product exists. Now I can always have that secondary version. It didn't need to start that way.
So Noah, how do you convey to the entrepreneur, the inventor, do you just sit him down? You have to do an intervention. All right. I'm going to tell you some tough things. What are some of the tactics that a good product designer and product quick start uses to get that message to people about you don't need every bell and whistle right now. We got to sidestep this for now.
I would say the most important thing I do there first is try to understand. So I ask a lot of questions. I try to get into their head to determine what's driving this, what's driving the desire for it to have a screen on it or the desire for it to have an app associated with it. And if I can understand the drivers behind these things, then I have more knobs I can turn. And if I understand, well, I want to have this screen because I want to be interactive, well, let's talk about, are there other ways to make it interactive that would be less costly and faster to the market? So I'm always very complimentary about what they've done. But at the same time, I'm very realistic about where they can go from here. And sometimes, you know, to be honest, some people are receptive to that. Yeah. Some people, I swear, they just don't like me. And some people just don't want to hear anything different about what they've got going on.
That's what I love about Noah, though, because most, or not most, but
is that
a lot
not everybody
of,
loves him?
Well, a lot of entrepreneurs, I mean, not entrepreneurs, engineers will just take their money. You
That's
know,
right.
Yeah, sure, I'll get the app done for you through my third party company. Sure, I'll do that for you. And he's willing to tell you what
that's,
you need to do.
That's evil anti-Noah.
Yeah.
He's going to be on a future episode.
Yeah, evil anti-Noah is actually a little bit even worse than that. Yeah, yeah. He'll come talk.
He comes out when they
That's
won't
a tease.
You
just let it lay. Just let it lay.
Here's your $100,000 engineering bill.
So I think a lot of those engineers that do that, they're just not as outwardly opinionated as I am. Perhaps that's the right way to say it. So they, you know, I don't think they're doing anything bad or wrong. They've been trained and they've just spent their career. Someone comes in, they say they want to do this, so you quote them and you do it. That's what they do, and that's fine. But that relies on the client having more knowledge and wisdom and strategy. A lot of my clients don't have the experience that, you know, that I have had with product development. So they don't know where to push on engineers like that. Mm-hmm. So I push on the client as the engineer that has a lot of opinions. Like I said, some people don't like it, and that's okay. I can't help everybody.
We are speaking with Noah McNeely. He is with Product Quick Start. You can go to productquickstart.com. We're talking about MVP. No, we're not talking about Dale Murphy's 1982 and 1983 back-to-back MVPs. We're not even talking about Chipper Jones' MVP or Freddie Freeman 2020 NL MVP. No, we're talking about minimum viable products, which are just as important, if not more important, because they will help you get your product-based business off the ground, make it profitable, keep it going where it needs to go to achieve its goals. Tiffany, I want to ask you a question, mm-hmm. because this topic came from you, mm-hmm. and it came out of your experience with Ava the Elephant after the pilot episode of Shark Tank, which the reason you had to get this to a minimum viable product was you had a deadline.
Right.
The show was going to come on. Mm-hmm. If you had not had that deadline, in your honest opinion, do you think it would have been more of a potential for you to get tripped up on what you really, really wanted?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I've learned that now, 10 years later, not to get tripped up. But in the beginning, I was that person that walked in Noah's office wanting all the bells and whistles, wanting her eyes to be perfect, her eyelashes, or, you know,
and I don't want you to speak. I don't want you to speak for Barbara, but I'm going to ask you to speak for Barbara, because one of the parts of your story is that here's Barbara getting into this. Yes. You've done real estate.
She was a good thing for that. She was very stern and, you know,
this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, stop thinking about it. Stop, you know, because I'm that person. I'm that anxious. Did I do the right thing? Did I make the right choice? You know, so she helped me really just nip it in the bud and get it on the market.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So she probably wouldn't have let you get away with that too much.
No.
If you hadn't had the deadline.
No. Yeah. Yeah. She wouldn't have either way. But yeah, the deadline was a good thing.
Okay.
Well, and I think something that people should understand is they have a deadline whether they realize it or not.
Exactly. Speak to that.
Either way, you're going to either run out of time or run out of money, in the sense that you only have so much resources to get this done, and or someone else is going to come to the market with something better than your idea before you get it launched. I have met people in inventor clubs and other places. They have spent their entire lives on one invention, just in their garage tinkering.
I know someone personally going through that right now.
Yeah. And at some point, those people cease to become business launchers and they become hobbyists. There's nothing wrong with being a hobbyist. That's, you know, I have my own hobbies and that's fine. But if you're under the impression that you're just going to keep tinkering on in your garage forever until you get this thing perfect, then all of a sudden you're going to have a business. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. That's not how it ever works. Even the companies that are started out of garages, you know, they put a schedule together. It might be loose, it might be in their head, but they put goals and objectives and they're like, you know, we got to be here at this point. We got to be there at that point. And they talk to people like me who help them determine what those dates are. Now, some people, they'll say, well, I got to be on the market in a month. And then they come talk to me. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And here's why. But
you appreciate that, though.
6 months, 4 months, whatever, you know, whatever it is based on their product, that we can do.
Yeah, I mean, I know someone personally, and I won't name it because I know this person well and I love her, but she has a product she's been working on for years and years. And now there's one on the market that's just recently hit the market that is basically a better version of what she's been working on. And she's worked so hard on it and put so much into it. It's devastating to see that she could have just released her minimum viable product, and hit the market faster and probably evolved into what they are now putting out. That may have been her version too. But
yeah, so she gotten on the market with whatever that is and started building a business.
And that happens time in and time out. Right. I mean, there's a lot of people in that situation.
Then hopefully it would have been a viable enough business that she would have revenue to fund the version she really wanted to make.
Is there anything, so obviously they can come and have a counseling session with you.
And, that's what it
and
is.
And you can help them. Are there any good questions that the inventors and the entrepreneurs who are working on their product listening to this show, are there any good exercises they can go through themselves even before they come talk to you? Are there any good questions they can be asking themselves?
So this is a harsh question. So the first question I would ask them to do a deep analysis on themselves. Take a step back. Is this a business plan I'm working on? Or is this an art project? Is this a vanity project?
Right.
Or am I building a business?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with either way, but they're not the same thing.
And I'm going to use your term hobby. I mean, because you're talking about artists, but I would say even hobby. Is this a business or is this a hobby? And if they don't have a business plan, if they don't even have an outline of any kind of business plan, then they need to do that.
That's right.
And okay. I would add, are you a future business owner? Like, yes. Can you look inward and go, because that hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, 7 years in, I went, I hate this. I hate doing the day-to-day of business. The reasons I licensed Ava was because I didn't want to do that part of the business. I wanted to create. So mm-hmm. many of these people are creators.
Told me you did the licensing so you could do a podcast with me.
Yeah. Oh, and that. Yes. So I could free up my
this
time.
This is creative.
Is this a minimum viable podcast? Is that MVP?
The better one's coming later.
We'll talk to Jody off air. He'll help us answer that question.
Well, we do have the clapping audience.
That's right. So. We have audience that, although they've been eerily silent during this episode. I'm not sure.
Yes, we're filmed in front of a live fake studio audience.
So you gave me a good one, which is to look inward and to ask about whether this is a business and do you have a business plan? Mm-hmm. And then Tiffany added, are you a business owner? So what are any other, that's a great one. And I think we could stop there, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to push you a little bit. Any other good questions somebody can ask before they come and do the full blown sit down with you?
I think they should make a list of everything they want their product to do. Okay. Just make a bullet point list. So it's gonna turn the light on. It's gonna have a screen. It's gonna follow me around the room. It's gonna smile. It's gonna levitate. It's gonna glow in the dark. Whatever it is, boil that down. Rank those in terms of importance. You can categorize them. You can rank them. What's the most important thing? Mm-hmm. What's the second most important thing? Then we can go through that list and we might get to, well, the ninth most important thing is going to be really expensive. Let's cross that one off for Gen 1. Another thing you can do similar is you take all those things and you divide them up into absolute must-have core elements. You know, if this doesn't exist, the product has no purpose in being.
Right.
If we can do all those things, you've got a product.
Right.
Now, then you can have your wish list items.
Right.
And that's great, and we'll get as much of those done. Like your wish list might be, oh, I want it to have a hook on it. Well, that's pretty easy. You know, it's not minimum viable product because it doesn't, you know, it can be launched without a hook. But that's early viable product because that's trivial. And I can help you figure out what's trivial, what's not, and we can go from there. We can build a plan around that. Now, if you've got something in that core list of, you know, if it doesn't have a screen with an AI on it, it's not a product. Well, that's fine. That is what it is. But I'm telling you, that's going to be a very big development product or project, probably much bigger than a typical entrepreneur can do. And we need to look at a different strategy. Then we need to look at a strategy of how do we build a presentation so you can go out and talk to investors and raise some money. We don't need to build a strategy around engineering, designing, and producing that for you because you probably don't have $1 million sitting in the bank. Now you might, and
if they work with me as an independent financial advisor.
Of course. Well, yes. If you do, I'm happy to work with you. But even still,
and even if you do, you might not want to use all of that million of your own money to market. By the way, we've got a great example of this in a past episode we just covered. It should be available in the archives. Our guest for the Busy Baby, Matt, her product originally was just the silicone mat with the suction cups and the tethers. Mm-hmm. And then she said, as we've been doing it, then she started going, well, why don't I just go ahead and sell some toys or teething rings or things that can be attached to the tethers.
Yes.
So the minimum viable product was just the mat. And then she goes, well, and they can attach whatever they want, but why don't I sell some things that can be attached as well? So
yeah, and she was smart. She didn't get sidetracked by, you know, those shiny things, you know, right. In the beginning. She stayed focused on her mat and tethers.
Yeah. But those were easy ads at that point. They were not, I want a toy that attaches that's electronic.
Right.
Yeah, that's a much more difficult.
That'll self-clean the mat and wipe it down with a bit. Yeah.
Now, when you first said that, I was picturing tethers that actually hold the baby to
them. No. Go to busybabymat.com. Free shout out to that great company. Man, this is fantastic. Should we pivot now and talk about screws, or should we keep going with MVP?
Well, my favorite.
Nobody knows
the,
about the screw conversations.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to it.
The 632 pan head screw. That's my favorite.
Pan head screw is your favorite screw head top.
Stainless steel 632 pan head. Yes,
that's it. So if you're looking for the right birthday present for Noah, 632nd stainless steel pan head screw. I know what I'm getting him every single year now.
I have quite the collection of screws in my shop.
I have various leather-bound books. sorry, all I could think of was Ron Burgundy and Anchorman. Okay, so Tiffany, have we covered MVP? Is there anything else we need to talk about? That's a horrible question to ask on this podcast. I apologize.
Especially to me. I'm not the engineer.
I jotted down a note on my paper to myself, and I no longer really know what I mean by it.
MVP versus
VIP.
Versus VIP.
So where I think I was going with that is it's kind of the same thing. Your VIP, very important product, that's the product you need to launch your business.
Okay.
And yes, it's very important, but it doesn't need to have every bell and whistle on it. So what makes it important is that it will fund your business moving forward. I mean, if you don't launch that product, if you wait for that product to be a super mega star before you launch it,
right,
you're not going to get that first starring role in a little movie and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. So let me, since I did it wrong at the beginning of the show, and I think Tiffany might have laughed at me at that moment. The minimum viable product is showing that the product can work. And also might be that product that you then go try to get some venture capitalist investor money to help the further development of that product.
I would describe it this way. The minimum viable product has the core features you need to grab market share your idea.
Okay.
So if your idea is, I don't know, that we talked about before, the brush for Persian cats. Well, it's got to have bristles on it, right?
Right.
That's the core element.
Right.
Now, whether it's got a diamond crusted handle or not, that's not a core element.
Right.
So the minimum viable product has the bristles and the handle and whatever else we can put on there that's a wish list item that doesn't drive your cost and your development time up.
That helps. And then the VIP, the very important product, is now I start adding some of that wish list.
Nope, I'm actually calling them the same thing.
Ah.
As I said, I wrote this down. I didn't know what it meant. So
okay.
It's my subconscious talking.
Okay.
The MVP and the VIP are the same thing because the VIP is your first product. You've got to get, it's very important because without it, you don't have a business because you're not generating revenue.
So, and if you can find out a way to get every single thing on your wish list into the product, you've either created a unicorn product and a UP or you're going to be out of business because it might be so expensive that it's worthless and it's not going to help.
Or you have a very good wish list. I mean, sometimes I have clients that everything they want to do is reasonable and makes sense.
There you go.
And we don't cross anything off that list. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Like I said, there are a lot of things that can be added trivially, like the hook on the wall plate example. But then you get into something that's like, well, it's going to take us 6 months to develop your MVP, but this one feature you want to add, that just added another 6 months. Well, that one doesn't make sense if it's not a core feature.
I'd say if I looked over all the Shark Tank companies I know, or even other inventions, that 90% of them were quick to market with an MVP, all the successful ones, because they were the people. I mean, I have people come to me all the time that go, oh, I have an invention idea, you know, and I'm like, well, what have you done? You know, have you moved? No, I haven't really moved on it. And it's like, you have to make these steps if you want any chance at appearing on the show or launching a product. These are the people who are making the steps, making them quickly and moving on from, like you said, their giant wish list and actually launching.
And that quick to market is really key for entrepreneurs because you do, to use the analogy, you only have so much runway to get your product launched. Yep. So you need to get that Cessna off the ground. You're not gonna get a 747 off the ground on your little runway. So we need to focus on getting you to that Cessna-sized idea that can be on the market in a few months.
So this is a great episode because we've given the listeners homework.
Yeah.
And everyone's, before some people are moaning, but this is incredibly important homework. I mean, this matters. We're going beyond just listening and telling people. You've given them some practical ideas, some time to spend doing some thinking, doing some planning, and then that should help them, save them some time, save them some energy, some hassle. But
have a more effective call with Noah.
Exactly,
I mean,
exactly.
If they can make that simple list he told them of, you know, what's a priority, what's not, and what they'd love to have in the far future, then that call with him could be valuable. I mean, I met a lady on LinkedIn just a week ago that had a call with him, and I feel like she was actually prepared. Okay, that's a bug. I'm gonna have a hard time.
Tiffany has broken the fourth wall because we have a bug in the suit. Thank you for sharing that, Tiffany. Great job. Oh man, okay. She killed it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You killed the bug.
Okay. All right. So if you want to kill those bugs that are keeping you from getting your product to market, is that good?
Yes.
A little too forced?
I'm sorry. I was distracted by the death of the bug.
Exactly. And look at this. The easiest podcaster to work with, Jody Smith, pulls out hand sanitizer for Tiffany's hands that destroyed the bug in the studio. I feel like that should be a Dr. Seuss book. Okay, Noah.
It would be canceled.
It would be so we've done China. We've done Dr. Seuss.
Him, by the way, I did not kill him. I spanked him and sent him off the desk.
No, you killed him. You killed him. All right. The show has officially gone off the rails. Yes. Now is the time for me to earn my keep as the slightly annoying co-host. I want to get you focused on what's really important and what's vital, which is telling people how to get in touch with you.
Yes. So the best way, productquickstart.com. I stay very busy, and partially because of this podcast, I think.
That's right.
We've met a number of people through here. We have a form there. It's a self-assessment form. If you can fill that out, that helps me get prepared for a call, and we'll reach back out to you and set up a we'll schedule a call with you at that point. Now everything's ringing. So phones are ringing now.
We have somebody calling for Noah. So you better get in line and you better do your self-assessment form really well, or else you're not going to get in.
Operators are standing by.
Noah, thank you so much for sharing that. By the way, and everybody also learned your favorite screw, the 6/32 stainless
632
yes. stainless steel pan head.
Yes.
Pan head screw.
Not sure yeah. It's not a 32nd. It relates.
Sorry. 632. Personally, I like, well, I'm a Phillips head guy. I don't know. I really like a good basic Phillips head screw.
Clear, you don't know anything about screws.
Exactly.
We'll talk later.
Whatever comes in the plastic bag, that's what I
use.
Yeah. We both went to tech, but had very different experiences. Tiffany, how'd that call go? Did you get a new client?
Goodness. Yeah. Well, here's what's funny. I have all my sound notifications turned off.
Yeah.
Look at that. Do not disturb.
But it's an alarm. What is it? Alarms go off no matter what.
That's crazy.
Because you know why? Day. Because at night I set the alarm on my phone and I turn it to nighttime, but it still goes off.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't do the trick, huh? This one over here even.
I better make sure I don't have any alarms.
Noah.
That's okay.
Okay. We had a great show until Tiffany killed a bug and had an alarm go off. By the way, what's the alarm for? You might as well tell us.
Calling one of my Shark Tank friends that's actually going to help me with the logo.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I like it. So getting business done.
Yep.
TiffanyCrewmans.com, also momgenius.com. By the way, at TiffanyCrewmans.com, there is a fantastic course that people can go through, which covers a lot. It is a very good focused introductory course to a lot of what we've talked about here on the podcast. Of course, we would love for people to go back and listen to all the archives, but there's a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. They can narrow it down to a good 5-10 hours of work and homework and some follow-up. They can also ask you questions as they go through the material, and they get a discount if they've listened to this point in the show and go to TiffanyCrewmans.com and put in the code
Shark Tank.
Yes.
And they can also find free resources on Noah's website.
ProductQuickStart.com.
Tons of free resources.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can also listen to this podcast for free. If you want to do your own podcast, then you need to get to know Jody Smith, the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with. Go to JodySmith.com. I'd love to give give you my website, but because I'm an independent financial advisor, my compliance department won't allow me to do that. But you can search Stephen Julian, financial advisor, and find out more about what I do. For all of us here in the studio, good luck on your product development journey. We'll catch you next time on Product Genius.
Well, that was fun.